Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, Chapter 13, The Advent of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Texts 40 and 41. I'll read 40 by myself and we will recite 41 together. Day and night, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu felt separation from Krishna. Manifesting symptoms of the separation, he cried and talked very inconsistently like a madman. Text 41. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. As Srimati Radharani talked inconsistently when she met Uddhava, also Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu relished both day and night such ecstatic talk in the mood of Srimati Radharani. Purport. In this connection, one should refer to Srimati Radharani's soliloquy after meeting Uddhava in Vrindavan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu presented a similar picture of such ecstatic imaginary talking. Full of jealousy and madness, symptomizing neglect by Krishna, Srimati Radharani, criticizing a bumblebee, talked just like a mad woman. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the last days of his pastimes, exhibited all the symptoms of such ecstasy. In this connection, one should refer to the fourth chapter of the Adi Lila, verses 107 and 108. Om Jnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Nitinamine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna. from Kshatriya warfare of yesterday morning to the highest levels of ecstatic love, feeling separation from Krishna, quite a journey. I feel competent to speak on neither subject, having experience of neither. And today's topic in particular is a very exalted subject. I do not feel I have the qualifications to speak on this for lack of any realization, but I take courage in the fact that if one simply repeats the words of the Acharyas of Srila Prabhupada, then hopefully there will be some benefit for the speaker in particular. And definitely when we all hear Srila Prabhupada's words in the words of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, then yes, there will be purification and increased attraction for Krishna. In the previous verses, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has described briefly the lifespan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His manifest pastimes on this planet lasted for 48 years. In simple language, what it means is that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed his pastimes for 48 years. He lived for 48 years. The first 28 of these years were the pre-sannyas Leela, when he lived in Navadvip, and for some of these years as a grihastha because he had married. And at the age of 24, he took sannyas. And then begins the Antya Leela. And Kaviraj Goswami explains that of the 24 years of the Antya Leela, the first 6 years are actually called the Madhya Leela. So technically the Antya Leela begins after 24, the age of 24, but actually it begins from the age of 30. In the 6 years that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spent his Madhya Leela or performed his Madhya Leela, he traveled quite a bit. He based himself in Sri Jagannath Puri and he went to South India and visited many holy places of pilgrimage. He also went to Bengal and further ahead he went to Prayag, Varanasi, Vrindavan, Mathura, and then returned to Jagannath Puri. And when he wasn't traveling and was based in Puri, then he would spend time with the devotees taking darshan of Lord Jagannath, celebrating festivals of Lord Jagannath like the Rath Yatra festival and so on. He performed a lot of Nama Sankirtan, congregational chanting of the holy name. This was his emphasis in this period. And he also gave many instructions to the numerous devotees who flocked to have his association from various parts. At the conclusion of the Madhya Leela, that is the 6 years, by which time Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was 30 years of age, then began the Antya Leela. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has also divided this Antya Leela into two parts. Although in this chapter, in the previous verses, he doesn't use the word. But of this 18 years, the last 12 years were called the Shesh Leela. Shesh means final. And the first 6 years are also part of the Antya Leela. In these 6 years, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued to perform Nama Sankirtan, congregational chanting of the holy names, very intense Sankirtan, with the devotees who were still coming every year to see him, and many of them were based in Jagannath Puri. However, as time went on, and in particular in the last 12 years of his manifest pastimes, which means the Shesha Leela, part of the Antya Leela, the last 12 years, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to withdraw more and more into himself. And he was more and more relishing ecstatic feelings of devotion to Krishna in separation. This mode of separation was extremely prominent in any case in Mahaprabhu's personality. And that is actually the very purpose of Krishna appearing as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami describes that these feelings of separation actually intensified very greatly as time passed on. And in the last 12 years, they became so intense that they were intolerable for him. And it was mandatory, it was imperative for his intimate associates like Ramananda Rai, Swarup Damodar Goswami and so on to be with him all the time to pacify the intensity of that separation, which from an external point of view or a material point of view would seem to be great grief. But of course it wasn't grief, it was intense bliss. So this subject of separation from Krishna is what actually Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to advocate, to relish himself and to display to the world and encourage the whole world to also enter into this mysterious realm. His teachings are actually meant for this purpose. Somehow or other, we enter into that mood of feeling separation from Krishna. But feeling separation from Krishna is not easy, because you can feel separation from something or someone only when there is intense love. I would like to invoke two proverbs in the English language to illustrate this point. One is called out of sight, out of mind. And the other is called absence makes the heart grow fonder. Now both these things actually say the opposite. Now out of sight, out of mind means that when I see somebody, I remember that person. Oh, how are you? And when I don't see that person, then I don't remember that person much. So that happens when that person is not very dear to us or doesn't matter to us so much. So out of sight, out of mind indicates that there isn't much of a relationship. There isn't much of love at all. Whereas absence makes the heart grow fonder indicates that there is a strong relationship. There is strong attachment. And then in that situation of attachment, when there is separation, or when one is away from that person or that thing, then one remembers it. One hankers for it. So this happens in the stage of attachment. So similarly with Krishna, when we don't love Krishna so much, then we don't feel the separation naturally because there is no need for it. Of course, those who are materialistic people who have no conception of Krishna, they never feel that separation from Krishna. But even as practicing devotees, it is hard to feel that separation from Krishna unless there is strong love for Krishna, a strong feeling for Krishna. So the stronger the feeling of attachment to Krishna, then we will also feel the sense of separation. So therefore, when we are away from Krishna, we feel the need to be with Krishna. Now, even though this is a very exalted state of consciousness, it happens not before the stage of bhava bhakti and finally in the stage of prema bhakti. But as practicing devotees, we all have some little minuscule experience, some tiny glimpse Krishna gives us once in a while for this separation. Maybe in a very elementary way, not in the kind of exalted way that we see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here, because that is not possible for anybody except Mahaprabhu and Srimati Radharani. For example, when we are away from the association of devotees for long, then we may miss the association of devotees, we may miss the darshan, we miss the kirtans, we miss the prasadam, we miss the temple atmosphere. When we associate too much, now I'll invoke another proverb, familiarity breeds contempt. And we start finding fault in devotees. And we start thinking, oh, better I just stay alone. You know, just I have to deal with this one and that one, and this one does this and that one says that, and we get very upset. And we think, better I just chant Hare Krishna, I'll be to myself, I have Prabhupada's books, and I'll chant the holy names, and even if I come, I'll just come, it's only me and Radha Gokul Ananda. And I just go back. So we may sometimes go through that phase. And I think it may sound very familiar, the phase. We may all go through different phases of this phase. And so, well, we experience that when we go away. Out of some bitterness or some frustration, we stay away from devotees, and after some time we realize we get a taste of the outside world once again. Oh my God, what am I missing? What is that little frustration? What is that little quarrel or misunderstanding? It's such a tiny price to pay for what I get in the association of devotees. Even if there is some major confrontation or some tension between some devotees or whatever may have happened, ultimately, the suffering that is there in the outside world is so much more that whatever anxieties or frustrations we have to experience in the association of devotees is insignificant, absolutely, very, very tiny. I sometimes give this example that if someone made you an offer that here is a big house that costs 10 million pounds in the market, and I'm going to give it to you for £1,000. And there's no cheating involved. It's all checked, clean and done. Papers are in order. The offer is bona fide. The person is bona fide. The house doesn't have any problems. Everything is perfect. Now, the normal person is going to say, wonderful, 10 million pounds and I'm getting it only for £1,000. Somebody with a negative mentality may say, my God, I have to pay £1,000? That pinches. So of course, losing any money pinches, but we look at what we get in return. We're getting a house that is worth 10 million pounds. So similarly, when we are in the association of devotees, we may get a few pinches, a few knocks here and there, but it's such a small price to pay. And then when we leave the association of devotees and then we feel, oh my God, yes, all those kirtans and those classes and those darshans and the festivals and everything else. So then we remember, yes. So we are feeling a little separation now. I remember one devotee who was a sailor and he had to be 6 months out at sea. And he said his realization was that I was reading Chaitanya Charitamrita in the ship, and he had just had a quarrel with some devotee before he embarked on the ship. So he came on the ship in a very bad mood, not quite the best mood on which to embark on a 6 month journey at sea in the ocean of material existence. So he says, then I was reading Chaitanya Charitamrita and I was reading all about this separation and Vipralamba Seva, which Kaviraj Goswami is talking about. And I started realizing that actually, despite whatever quarrel I had, I'm missing that devotee. And I'm missing all the devotees. And I'm missing Krishna consciousness. Here I am in the midst of these sailors who are just drinking and eating and merrymaking and out at sea, just water, water everywhere. And now I understood. I got a glimpse of what it means to feel separation. So Krishna does give us these little tiny glimpses, a little peek, small tiny peek into what it could be to feel separation, just to encourage us, just to give us a taste. So even for us, if we can experience something like that, we can imagine what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu must have been experiencing. Actually, we can't imagine, because it is beyond the powers of our imagination to comprehend the feelings that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was experiencing at such times. These are the feelings of Srimati Radharani. And not just the feelings of Srimati Radharani. It is the Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta that Krishna has taken the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu not just in the mood of Srimati Radharani. Radha Bhava Dyuti Suvalitam Naomi Krishna Swarupam. So he has taken the bodily complexion and the bhava or the mood of Srimati Radharani. It's the same Krishna. Krishna Naomi Swarupam. So he's not just taken the bhava of Srimati Radharani, but he has taken the bhava of Srimati Radharani at a particular time. When was that time? Most specifically, when Uddhava came from Mathura to Vrindavan at the behest of Krishna. That was the time, at that time the mood that Srimati Radharani exhibited and experienced was the mood Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also accepted. When Krishna completed his manifest pastimes, his Prakat Leela in Vrindavan and moved on to Mathura, naturally the devotees in Vrindavan, the Brajavasis, were grief-stricken. They experienced intense agony of separation from Krishna. And Krishna understood this in Mathura. So he sent his dearmost confidential devotee, Uddhava, to Vrindavan to pacify the devotees of Vrindavan. Actually, Krishna knew very well that Uddhava would not be able to pacify the residents of Vrindavan, because the devotion of the Brajabasis was actually superior to that of Uddhava. Now, Uddhava is considered to be the best devotee of Krishna in Mathura and Dwarka. Uddhava is a very intimate friend of Krishna. He is a cousin also, his first cousin. Uddhava's father is a king called Devabhaga, who was the brother of Vasudev, who was Krishna's father. So Krishna and Uddhava were cousins, and they were contemporaries. They were of the same age, practically. And not only that, Uddhava bore a very striking bodily resemblance to Krishna. They looked almost identical. So much so, that when Uddhava came to Vrindavan, then the residents of Vrindavan mistook him for Krishna from a distance. And they thought Krishna has come. But when he approached closer, then they realized, oh, it's not Krishna, it's Uddhava, it's somebody else. And then they found out it is Uddhava. So even in Dwarka, Krishna was very close to Uddhava. Uddhava was his close confidant. He was his confidential associate. In fact, Uddhava was his counselor. Krishna would take advice from Uddhava about many, many different things, not just of statecraft, but also on other topics. Such was the position of Uddhava, extremely exalted. And of course, Uddhava is famous for also, among other things, having heard the famous Uddhava Gita, which Krishna speaks in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, just prior to his disappearance from this world. So Uddhava is not an ordinary devotee. He is the best devotee in Mathura and Vrindavan. And yet, Krishna wanted to teach him and through him to all of us, to the whole world, about the exalted nature, the super excellent nature, the incomparable love that the Brajabasis were feeling for him. So the residents of Vrindavan have a consciousness of Krishna that is not possible for anyone else to attain in other realms, like in Vaikuntha or in Dwarka and so on. So Krishna wanted to reveal the glories of the love of the Brajabasis to the world through Uddhava. So this was the internal reason for Krishna sending Uddhava there. And the external reason was, of course, that my dear Uddhava, my dear Brajabasis are feeling separation from me. Please, please pacify them. So Uddhava did go there, and he tried to speak some knowledge over there from the Bhagavad Gita and other scriptures, that kind of knowledge. The gopis in particular, of course, were not interested. And so when Uddhava reached there, he saw the mindset, he saw the consciousness of the Brajabasis, in particular the gopis, and in particular Srimati Radharani. And when he saw that, he was struck with wonder. He was speechless. And this is what we see here. In this verse, Kaviraj Goswami says, I'll repeat the translation. As Srimati Radharani talked inconsistently when she met Uddhava, so also Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu relished both day and night such ecstatic talk in the mood of Srimati Radharani. So when Uddhava reached Vrindavan and he met Srimati Radharani, she was talking like this. And Srila Prabhupada in the purport also mentions that she was criticizing a bumblebee. There's a whole chapter in the 10th canto that deals with this. It's, anyone knows the name of this song? Yes. Brahmara Geet. Brahmara means a bumblebee. Geet means song. There are many such songs in the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. Rudra Geet, for example, the song of Lord Shiva that he sung to the Prachetas. And in the 10th canto, 11th canto, so many songs. The Uddhava Gita, the Ayla, or the Bhumi Gita, then there's the Ayla Gita, so many songs. But the sweetest songs are, of course, the songs of the 10th canto, and especially those that pertain to Krishna's Vrindavan Leela. You have, for example, the Venu Gita, 21st chapter, the song of the flute of Krishna. Or you have the Gopi Gita, the song that was sung by the gopis when they were feeling separation from Krishna. So there are several such songs. And one of them is the Brahmara Gita. Brahmara means a bumblebee. So this song was sung by Srimati Radharani. By song we mean that this was a spontaneous outpouring from Srimati Radharani's heart. And the talk doesn't make sense from a material point of view. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada says here that Srimati Radharani criticizing a bumblebee talked just like a mad woman. So she was talking inconsistently, incoherently. She was criticizing a bumblebee. And anyone unacquainted with the ways of ecstatic love of Vrindavan would definitely consider that this was not normal. Even from the devotional standpoint, it is not normal. It is super normal. It is supreme. The highest stage of devotion and ecstasy was being exhibited by Srimati Radharani. So she was criticizing this bumblebee as a messenger of Krishna. So Uddhava was watching and hearing all this. And he was saying, I have never seen anything like this. So the mood that Srimati Radharani exhibited at this time when Uddhava went to Vrindavan is the mood that Krishna adopted or accepted when he came as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is the essence of the mood or the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Apart from the external symptoms or the external reasons of Mahaprabhu's advent, which is to propagate the congregational chanting of the holy names and so on. But the mood is like this. So this is a very confidential topic. It's very hard to understand unless one is very advanced. And therefore the purports of acharyas like Srila Prabhupada are very helpful for us to get at least some glimpse, some tiny little understanding of this very mysterious, esoteric subject. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as the days went by in his stay in Jagannath Puri, towards the end of his pastimes, the Shesha Leela, he was exhibiting exactly these symptoms. And Ramananda Rai, Swarup Damodar Goswami, etc. were finding it extremely hard to pacify Mahaprabhu. There were times when he would go completely out of control. There were times when he would do things that would make the devotees' hearts filled with anxiety. He had to be practically watched 24/7 because he never knew what he would do. Sometimes in the stage of excitement or ecstasy, he would simply just run away into the sea. He would think the sea was Yamuna and he would plunge into the sea. One time he did that And the devotees were in intense anxiety, wondering, where is Mahaprabhu? Where has he gone? And finally, they after wandering miles and miles on the beach, they came across Mahaprabhu, who was caught in a fisherman's net. Some fisherman was in his boat and he had put his net, and somehow Mahaprabhu came there, and this fisherman somehow caught him, and he touched his body, and because he touched Mahaprabhu's body, he became ecstatic and he was dancing and chanting like a madman. And and everyone thought that he was taken over by some ghost. So when he came back, he was jumping and shouting and chanting Krishna's names. And then Swarup Damodar Goswami came and gave him a few slaps and brought him down. And he said, tell me what happened. So then he explained what happened. So Mahaprabhu used to be in that phase. Sometimes he would think the sand dunes and the beaches of Puri were Govardhan Hill. And he would run towards it with great speed, and all the devotees would have to run after him. Sometimes he would do so many things that are described here in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He would rub his face on the wall and so on. So the devotees had to constantly guard him. They were extremely anxious about his welfare. Not in the spiritual sense, of course, but in the sense that he might harm himself. They did not like to see his transcendental body being hurt in so many ways. So these things are described, especially as the Antya-lila goes on. And the root for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood of ecstatic separation from Krishna actually comes from Madhavendra Puri, his param guru. Mahaprabhu's guru, as we know, is Ishwar Puri. And Ishwar Puri's guru was Madhavendra Puri. So from Madhavendra Puri, actually, technically speaking, the Gaudiya Sampradaya begins, because the mood of ecstatic love in separation, the mood of Vrindavan, was manifested for the first time by Madhavendra Puri. Before him, it was never done. Madhavendra Puri had been initiated into the Madhva Sampradaya. And in the Madhva Sampradaya, they follow the path of Vaikuntha, of loving Lord Narayan in Vaikuntha. So they don't have this mood of loving Krishna in spontaneous devotion in following the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. So when Srila Madhavendra Puri was about to leave this world, he was experiencing similar symptoms of separation. He was also talking in ways that appeared to those unacquainted with the ways of pure devotional service to be very strange. So he was chanting this verse, Ayi Deena Dayardra Nath He Mathura Nath Kadava Lokyase Hridayam Tvad Alok Kataram Daita Brahmyati Kim Karomyaham. He kept on repeating this verse. Actually, Mahaprabhu, when he was on the way to Jagannath Puri, and when he came along with the other devotees to the Kheerchora Gopinath temple, the very celebrated temple at Remuna, he remembered Madhavendra Puri, because it was for Madhavendra Puri that Gopinath had stolen a pot of sweet rice and hid it behind his lotus feet. So remembering Madhavendra Puri, he glorified him. He narrated this pastime of Kheerchora Gopinath and Madhavendra Puri's involvement in that. And then he began to narrate or recite this verse, Ayi Deena Dayardra Nath He. And he began to repeat it again and again. And he became so overwhelmed with ecstasy that he couldn't complete the verse after that. He just came, Ayi Deena, Ayi Deena. He would just repeat, Ayi Deena. And Srila Krishnadas Goswami, Kaviraj Goswami explains that only there was no fourth person who could understand this verse. What is the meaning? Who is the fourth person? So who are the first three? Naturally, Madhavendra Puri was the first. He understood the meaning of this verse. That's why he was saying it. The second was, of course, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He understood this, the real meaning of this verse. And the third was Srimati Radharani herself. So apart from these three personalities, there was nobody who could understand the meaning of this verse. So Kaviraj Goswami says, no fourth person in existence could understand this verse. But Srila Kaviraj Goswami has again given us a little peek into that, a tiny glimpse. He's given us a little key. So what is the meaning of this verse? This is spoken by Madhavendra Puri in the mood of Srimati Radharani. Ai Deen Dayardhar Nath. Deen means the fallen. Dayardhar means very compassionate Nath. O Lord, who is most compassionate to fallen sinful souls. To the fallen. Who is most compassionate to the fallen. Ai Deen Dayardhar Nath He. Mathura Nath. O Lord of Mathura. Kada Avalokyase. When will I be able to see you? Avalokyase means, avalokana means to see. So when will I be able to see you? Hridaya Tvad Aloka Kataram. My Hridaya, my heart is very aggrieved, Kataram, because I'm not able to see you. Hridayam Tvad Aloka. Aloka means not being able to see. So my heart is very aggrieved, not being able to see you. Daita, O my dear Lord, Brahmyati, I'm overwhelmed. Kim karomyaham, what shall I do now in this helpless condition? So this mode of separation is essentially, where are you, Krishna? Where are you? I don't see you. And because I don't see you, I'm extremely aggrieved. Srila Prabhupada mentions in one of his lectures that it's not that the devotees say, I have found Krishna. Or, I have found Krishna behind the bushes in Vrindavan. No. The genuine devotees are always searching for Krishna. Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? That's the mood of separation that the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya cultivates. So Madhavendra Puri was apparently lamenting like that. And his disciple, Ramachandra Puri, who wasn't quite a devotee really, didn't understand the intricacies of pure devotion. So he came and he actually began to criticize his guru, Madhavendra Puri. And he said, you're a sannyasi and you're an exalted devotee. You should be thinking of Brahman. And you should be equipoised and calm. And he was preaching Bhagavad Gita philosophy about the sthita pragya, how one should be neither lament nor rejoice and so on and so forth. Of course, he was thinking from the material platform. On the material platform, separation brings grief. But on the spiritual platform, separation brings what appears to be grief, but is actually the most intense ecstasy, the devotional ecstasy that is possible. And it was this intense devotional ecstasy that Madhavendra Puri was experiencing, unbeknownst to Ramachandra Puri, who therefore had the gall to criticize him. And Madhavendra Puri was therefore furious. And he rebuked him severely. Of course, that's a nice pasta with many beautiful verses, but we don't have the time to go into those verses now. In any case, he rebuked him. So this was the mood of Madhavendra Puri. And this mood then was adopted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this is the mood that he actually cultivated very, very intensely in the Shesha Leela. And that is what we are actually reading about here in this section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has also spoken about this mood in the Shikshashtakam prayers. The seventh verse of the Shikshashtakam. Which one is that? Yes, Yugayitam Nimeshena Chakshusha Pravishayatam Shunyayatam Jagat Sarvam Govinda Virahename. So, Mahaprabhu is saying in this verse, Yugayitam Nimeshena Chakshusha Pravishayatam. He says that even a fraction of a moment of not being able to see you seems like a yuga, seems like 12 years or more. Govinda virahena, feeling separation. Viraha means separation. Feeling viraha or separation from Govinda or Krishna. Tears are flowing like torrents of rain from my eyes. So this is the mood of separation that is brought out in the Shikshashtakam prayers by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's leading followers, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, also were in this mood. Srila Srinivas Acharya, in the Shat Goswamyashtakam, has also spoken this beautiful verse. He Radhe Vraja Devike Chalalite, He Nanda Suno Kuta, Shri Govardhana Kalpa Pada Patale, Kalindi Vanye Kuta, Shri Govardhana, Goshantaviti Sarvato Vrajapure, Kedair Mahavihvalo, Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghu Yuga, Shri Jiva Gopalako. So Srila Srinivas Acharya explains the mood of the six Goswamis. They were looking for Krishna. He Radhe Vraja Devike. Where are you, O Radharani, O Queen of Vrindavan? Where are you, O Lalita, He Lalite? He Nanda Suno Kutaha, O son of Nanda, where are you? Shri Govardhana Kalpapada Patale. Kalpapada. Padapa means a tree. Pada means a foot, means feet. And pa means to drink. So padapa means that which drinks with its feet. Because the roots of the tree are like the feet of the tree. So it's a poetic way of saying a tree. Because the tree drinks water with its roots, with its feet. So padapa means a tree. Tale means below. Kalpa means wish fulfilling tree. So where are you, Srimati Radharani, O Lalita, O Krishna? Are you beneath the wish fulfilling trees at Govardhan? Kalindi Vanye Kutaha. Or are you on the bank of the Yamuna under the trees? Ghoshantaviti Sarvato Vrajapure. So they would go around declaring this loudly everywhere. Vrajapure, all over Vraja. Khedair Mahavihvalau. And in their grief, they were feeling intense pain and separation. They were crying out for Krishna. This was the situation of the six Goswamis. Vande Rupa Sanatana Raghuyugo, Shri Jiva Gopalako. So this is the mood of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, of teaching the essence of the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Mahaprabhu wants us to also try to cultivate this mood. It is a very exalted mood, but we are very fortunate that Srila Prabhupada has given us the key to enter into this very deep chamber. And that is to follow the principles of chanting the holy names on a regular basis and to perform the items of sadhana bhakti that he has taught us. He has given us a very balanced program of Krishna consciousness. And if we follow that and try to hear and chant more and more about Krishna, then we will also be able to one day, by the mercy of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada, the deities and the Vaishnavas, Sri Guru and the Vaishnavas, be able to obtain this state in the footsteps of Mahaprabhu. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any comments or questions?